In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In our epistle reading this morning from St. Paul's letter to the Galatians, Paul lifts up for us the issue and the focus on where do we center our lives. He contrasts two ways of living. We can either walk in the Spirit with God, or we can walk with the spirit of the world, focusing on the things of the flesh. Paul talked a lot about his own internal struggle with these two realities. He called it spiritual warfare. Tells you how hard Paul thinks the choice we face is. But Paul, in our lesson this morning, makes it dramatically clear that how we choose between these two life orientations will directly determine what kind of life we will experience. If our focus is with God and we walk in the Spirit, we will, over time, experience the fruit of the Spirit. And what a remarkably beautiful list it is. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. If that list doesn't excite us as a possibility, woe are we. Those are the gifts, Paul says, are promised by God to all who center their daily life in Him. It's God's great joy to bestow these things on us. And as we grow in our discipleship, as we grow in our commitment to Him, these things become character traits. They're foundational to our spiritual and our emotional health. But of course, Paul at the same time contrasts this beautiful gift with what we will experience if we choose to follow the passions of our flesh and focus internally rather than upon Him. If God is not at the center of our lives, we pursue a path that leads us more and more into self-gratification. And Paul warns us of what that leads to: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, enviousness, murders, drunkenness, revelings. As I was thinking about this sermon and reading the lessons, it struck me in a powerful way and forced me, and I hope forces you, to ask yourself this critically important question. Is the contrast between these two life orientations that Paul spells out really as dramatic and significant as Paul describes it to be? Or is he exaggerating? As I read Paul's two lists, I feared that for we who live today, it'd be easy for us to disregard the list describing those who do not walk in the Spirit. After all, most of us do not identify with many of the things on that list. We haven't murdered anyone, at least I hope so. We don't practice witchcraft, do we? No, of course we don't.
Show of hands.
So, just because Paul's list of walking in accordance with the flesh may seem to be a bit antiquated, it does not diminish the truth of what he's saying. We are given the choice to determine each day who we will live for. Will we let Christ so deeply within us that it transforms us and that beautiful list starts to become a reality for us? And it doesn't mean we don't all have problems still and we don't struggle still. That never ends. And Paul says that in other places as well. But it is also true that God's greatest desire, His greatest hope for you and for me, is that we will live so in accordance with the Spirit that it will indeed lead us closer and closer to the experience of all of those wonderful, wonderful things. So we have a choice of how we want to go through life. And a warning. For those who really do seek Christ and ask for His power and mercy to change them, there will be roadblocks. Whether it's a manifestation of Satan, because Satan leaves you alone as long as you don't start to follow. But when you do, I assure you, there will be spiritual warfare. And maybe it's just, I'm so comfortable with the way I live, I don't really see a need. Jesus promises the abundant life to all who receive Him. He promises us that we can become a new creation. That's pretty dramatic. Be born again. Become new. What did he say? Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added to you. He wasn't talking about material blessings. He was talking about spiritual well-being, which is of more value than silver or gold. He promises the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. So we should ask ourselves this morning, is there anything of greater value than those blessings? And we should remind ourselves that those gifts to us came at the ultimate cost to Him: His death, His self-offering on a cross. In the gospel this morning, Jesus heals 10 lepers. Only one came back to say thank you. How is it that we can be so blessed for something so great and not be filled with gratitude? So I pray today that these two lessons, which so in such a compatible way remind us of where God would have us orient our lives, and then to be filled with gratitude for the healing. Yes, 10 lepers in the story were healed, but if God can take my life and change it to where I start experiencing that list of the fruits of the Spirit, that's perhaps as great a miracle as healing 10 lepers. Living life with gratitude, not focusing on the things we don't have, the things we wish we had, because that list will never end. It's being grateful for your beautiful wife or for your beautiful children, for all of the remarkable things God has bestowed upon us, one of which for Nancy and for me is to be part of this St. Bede's family. And I hope you have that feeling as well. So let us be filled with gratitude this day for the things we do have, and to remember the fruits of the Spirit are promised to us if only we would open our hearts and receive them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.